Let the Galaxy Burn. Narrated by a Border Prince. Unforgiven by Graham McNeil. The midnight dark closed on Brother Sergeant Caelan of the Dark Angels like a fist. The emission-reduced engines of the rapidly disappearing Thunderhawk were the only points of light he could see. His visor swum into a ghostly green hue, and the outlines of the star-shaped city below became clear as his auto-senses kicked in. The altimeter reading on his visor was unravelling like a lunatic countdown, the shapes below him resolving into clearer, oblong forms. The speed of his descent was difficult to judge. The power armor insulating Caelan from the sensations of icy rushing air and roaring noise as he plummeted downwards. With a pulse of thought, Caelan overlaid the tactical schematics of the city onto his visor, noting with professional pride that the outline of the buildings below almost perfectly matched the image projected before him. The altimeter rune flashed red, and Caelan pulled out of his drop position, smoothly bringing his legs around so that he was falling feet first. Glancing left and right, he saw the same maneuver being repeated by his men and slammed the firing mechanism on his chest. He felt the huge deceleration as the powerful rocket motors ignited, slowing his headlong plunge into a controlled descent. Caelan's boots slammed into the marble flag plaza, his jump pack flaring a wash of heated air around him as he landed. Streams of bright light licked up from the city, flak waving like undersea fronds as the rebels sought to down the departing Thunderhawk. But the heretic gunners were too late to prevent the gunship from completing its mission. Its deadly cargo had already arrived. Caelan whispered a prayer for the transport's crew and transferred his gaze back to the landing zone. Their drop was perfect. The Thunderhawk's jumpmaster had delivered them dead on target, a target that was thronged with screaming, masked cultists. Caelan ducked a clumsy swing of a cultist power maul and punched his power fist through his enemy's chest. The man shrieking and convulsing as the energized gauntlet smashed through his flesh and bone. He kicked the corpse off his fist and smashed his pistol butt into the throat of another. The man fell, clutching his shattered larynx, and Caelan spared a hurried glance to check the rest of his squad had dropped safely with him. Stuttering blasts of heat and light flared in the darkness as the remaining 9 men of Squad Luptra landed within 5 meters of him, firing their bolters and making short dashes for cover. A cultist ran towards him, swinging a giant axe, his features twisted in hatred. Caelan shot him in the head. By the lion, these fools just didn't stop coming. He ducked behind a giant marble statue of some nameless cardinal as a heavy burst of gunfire stitched its way towards him from the gigantic cathedral at the end of the plaza. Muzzle flashes came through smashed stained glass windows, the bullets tearing up the marble in jagged splinters and cutting down cultists indiscriminately. Caelan knew that advancing into the teeth of those guns would be bloody work indeed. Another body ducked into cover with him, the dark green of his armour partially obscured by his chaplain's robes. Interrogator chaplain Barius raised his bolt pistol. The weapon's barrel was intricately tooled, and its muzzle smoked with recent firing.
"Squad, form up on me," ordered Caelan. "Prepare to assault. Evens advance, odds covering fire."
The prophet had risen on the cathedral world of Valador, and with him came the planet's doom. Within a year of his first oration, the temple of the Divine Emperor had been cast down, and his faithful servants, from the highest cardinal to the lowliest scribes, were cast into the charnel fire pits. Millions were purged, and choked clouds of human ash fell as grotesque snow for months after. The nearest Imperial Guard regiment The 43rd Carpathian Rifles had fought through the Temple Precinct for nearly 9 months since the planet's succession. Battling in vicious close combat with the fanatical servants of the Prophet, the pacification had progressed well, but now ground to a halt before the walls of the planet's capital city, Angelicus. The heavily fortified cathedral city had withstood every assault, but now it was the turn of the Adeptus Astartes to bring the rebellion to an end. For the Space Marines of the Dark Angels chapter, more than just Imperial honour and retribution was at stake. Many centuries ago, Valador had provided a clutch of fresh recruits for the chapter, and the planet's heresy was a personal affront to the Dark Angels. Honour must be satisfied. The Prophet must die. Dozens of cultists were pitched back by the Space Marines' first volley, blood bright on their robes. More died as the bolters fired again. Kalen exploded from cover, a laser blast scouring a groove in his shoulder plate. The first cultist to bar his path died without even seeing the blow that killed him. The next saw Killian bearing down on him, and the Marine Sergeant relished the look of terror on his face. His power fist took his head off. Gunfire sounded, louder than before, as more covering fire raked the robed cultists. Kalen fought and killed his way towards the temple doors, gore spattering his armour bright red. All around him, Squad Luxra killed with a grim efficiency. Short dashes for cover combined with deadly accurate bolter fire had brought them to within 80 metres of the temple doors with no casualties. In their wake, more than 200 cultists lay dead or dying. Powerful blasts of gunfire spat from the smashed windows, too heavy to charge through, even for power armour, Kalen knew. He activated his Voxcom.
Brother Lucius!
Yes, Brother Sergeant.
You have a good throwing arm on you. You think you can get a couple of grenades through those windows?
Lucius risked a quick glance over the rim of the fountain he was using for cover and nodded curtly.
Yes, Brother Sergeant. I believe I can, the lion willing.
Then do so, ordered Kalen. The Emperor guide your aim.
Kalen shifted position and spoke to the rest of his squad.
Be ready. We move on the grenade's detonation.
Each tiny rune on his visor that represented one of his men blinked once as they acknowledged receipt of the order. Kalen glanced around to check that Chaplain Barius was ready too. The hulking figure of the chaplain was methodically examining the dead cultists, pulling back their robes like a common looter. Kalen's lip curled in distaste before he quickly reprimanded himself for such disloyalty. But what was the chaplain doing?
Brother Chaplain,
called Kalen. Barris looked up, his helmeted face betraying nothing of his intent.
We are ready,
Kalen finished.
Brother Sergeant,
began Barris, moving to squat beside Kalen.
When we find the Prophet, we must not kill him. I wish him taken alive.
Alive? But our orders are to kill him.
Your orders have been changed, Sergeant,
hissed the chaplain, his voice like cold flint.
I want him alive. Do you understand? Yes, Brother Chaplain. I shall relay your orders. We must expect heavy resistance within the temple. I will tell you now that I do not expect many, if any, of your men to survive, advised Barris,
his voice laden with the promise of death.
Why did you not brief me on this earlier? Snapped Kalen. If the forces we are to face are so strong, then we should hold here for now and call in support.
No, stated Barius. We do this alone or we die in the attempt.
His voice broke no disagreement, and Kalen suddenly understood that there was more at stake with this mission than simple assassination. Regardless of the chaplain's true agenda, Kalen was duty-bound to obey. He nodded.
As you wish, Chaplain. He opened the voxcom to Lucius again. "Now, Brother Lucius." Lucius stood, live as a jungle cat, and powered a frag grenade through each of the windows either side of the cathedral doors. No sooner had the last grenade left his hand than the heavy blast of a las cannon disintegrated his torso. The heat of the laser blast flashed his super-oxygenated blood to a stinking red steam. Twin thumps of detonation and screams. Flashing light and smoke poured from the cathedral windows like black tears.
"Now!"
yelled Kaelin, and the marines rose from cover and sprinted towards the giant bronze doors. Scattered small arms fire impacted on their armour, but the space marines paid it no heed. To get inside was the only imperative. Kaelin saw brother Marius falter, a lucky shot blasting a chunk of armour and flesh from his upper thigh, staining the dark green of his armour bright red. Chaplain Barius grabbed Marius as he staggered and dragged him on. Kaelin's powerful legs covered the distance to the temple in seconds, and he flattened his back into the marble of the cathedral wall. Automatically, he snapped off a pair of grenades from his belt and hurled them through the smoking windows. The shockwave of detonation shook the cathedral doors, and he vaulted through the shattered window frame, snapping shots left and right from his bolt pistol. Inside was a blackened hell of smoke, blood, and cooked flesh. Bodies lay sprawled, limbs torn off, skeletons pulverized and organs melted. The wounded gunners shrieked horribly. Kaelin felt no pity for them. They were heretics and had betrayed the Emperor. They deserved a death 100 times worse. The Dark Angels poured inside, moving into defensive positions, clearing the room and dispatching the wounded. The vestibule was secure, but Kaelin's instinct told him that it wouldn't remain that way for long. Marius propped himself up against the walls. The bleeding had already stopped, the wound already sealed. He would fight on, Kaelin knew. It took more than a shattered pelvis to stop a Dark Angel.
"We have to keep moving," he snapped. Movement meant life.
Chaplain Barius nodded, reloading his pistol, and turned to face Kaelin's squad.
"Brothers," he began, "we are now in the fight of our lives. Within this desiccated temple, you shall see such sights as you have never witnessed in your darkest nightmares. Degradation and heresy now make their home in our beloved Emperor's vastness, and you must shield your souls against it."
Barius lifted his chaplain's symbol of office, the Crozius Arcanum, high. The blood-red gem at its centre sparkled like a miniature ruby sun.
"Remember our Primarch, and the Lion shall watch over you."
Kaelin muttered a brief prayer to the Emperor, and they pressed on.
"They are within your sanctuary, my lord," said Castor, worry plain in his every syllable. "What would you have us do to destroy them?"
"Nothing more than you are already, Castor."
"Are you sure, lord? I do not doubt your wisdom, but they are Adeptus Astartes. They will not give up easily."
"I know. I am counting on it. Do you trust me, Castor?"
"Absolutely, lord. Without question."
"Then trust me now. I shall permit the Angel of Blades to kill all the marines, but I want their chaplain."
"It will be as you say, lord," replied Castor, turning to leave.
The prophet nodded and rose from his prayers to his full, towering height. He turned quickly, exposing a sliver of dark green beneath his voluminous robes.
"Ancaster," he hissed, "I want him alive."
Chaplain Barius swung the Crozius in a brutal arc, crushing bone and brain. Fighting their way along a reliquary, stubbed cloister, the marines battled against more followers of the prophet. The Dark Angels fought in pairs, each warrior protecting the other's back. Kaelin fought alongside Barius,
chopping and firing. The slide on the bolt pistol racked back empty. He slammed the butt of his pistol across his opponent's neck, shattering his spine. Barrier slew his foes with a deadly grace, ducking, kicking and stabbing. The true genius of a warrior was to create a space to flow between the blades where skill and instinct merged in lethal harmony. Enemy weapons sailed past him, and Kaelin saw that Barrius was a warrior born. Kaelin felt as clumsy as a new recruit next to the exquisite skill of the interrogator chaplain. Brother Marius fell, a power maul smashing into his injured hip. Hands held him down, and an axe split his skull in two. Yet even though his head had been destroyed, he shot his killer dead. Then it was over. The last heretic fell. His blood split across the tiled floor, as Kaelin slammed a new magazine into his pistol. Barrius knelt beside the corpse of Brother Marius and intoned the prayer for the fallen.
You will be avenged, brother. Your sacrifice has brought us closer to expunging the darkness of the past. I thank you for it.
Kaelin frowned. What did the chaplain mean by that? Barrius stood and pulled out a data slate, displaying the floor plans of the cathedral. While the chaplain confirmed their location, Kaelin surveyed his surroundings in more detail. The walls were dressed stone, a fine carving hacked off and replaced with crude etchings depicting worlds destroyed, angels on fire, and a recurring motif of a broken sword, and a dying lion. The rendering was crude, but the origins of the imagery was unmistakable.
What is this place? He asked aloud. This is our chapter's history. On these walls, Lionel Johnson, dead Caliban. The heretics daubed their halls with mockeries of our past.
He turned to Barrius.
Why?
Barrius looked up from the data slate. Before he could answer, roaring gunfire hammered through the cloisters. Brother Sion and Brother Gaius fell, heavy caliber shells tearing through their breastplates and exploding within their chest cavities. Brother Septimus staggered, most of his shoulder torn away by a glancing hit, his arm hanging by gory threads of bone and sinew. He fired back with his good arm until another shot took his head off. Kaelin snapped off a flurry of shots, diving into the cover of a fluted pillar. The concealed guns were pinning them in position, and it would only be a matter of time until more cultists were sent against them. As if in answer to his thoughts, a stubbed timber door at the end of the cloister burst open, and a mob of screaming warriors charged towards them. Kaelin's jaw hung open in disgust at the sight of the enemy. They were clad in dark green mockeries of power armor, an abominable mirror of the Space Marine's glory. Crude copies of the Dark Angel chapter symbol, spread wings with a dagger through the center, adorned their shoulder plates, and Kaelin felt a terrible rage build in him at this heresy. The Marines of Squad Luctra screamed their battle cry and surged forward to tear these blasphemers apart and punish them for such effrontery. To mock the Dark Angels was to invite savage and terrible retribution. Fueled by righteous anger, Squad Luctra fought with savage skill. Blood, death, and screams filled the air. As the foes met in the centre of the cloister, the hidden guns opened fire again. A storm of bullets and ricochets cracked armour and smoke engulfed the combatants, striking Space Marines and their foes indiscriminately. A shell tore downwards through the side of Kaelin's helmet. Redness, pain, and metallic stink filled his senses, driving him to his knees. He gasped and hit the release catch of his ruined helmet, wrenching it clear. The bullet had torn a bloody furrow in the side of his head and blasted the back of his helmet clear, but he was alive. The Emperor and the Lion had spared him. A booted foot thundered into the side of his head. He rolled, lashing out with his power fist, and a cultist fell screaming, his leg destroyed below the knee. He pushed himself to his feet and lashed out again, blood splashing his face as another foe died. Kaelin sprinted for the cover of the cloister, Realizing they had been lured out of cover by the fraudulent Dark Angels, he cursed his lack of detachment, angrily wiping sticky redness from his eyes. The tactical situation was clear. They could not go back the way they had come. To reach the main vestibule was not an option. The gunfire would shred them before they got halfway. The only option was onwards, and Keelan had a gnawing suspicion that their enemies knew this and were channeling them towards something even more fearsome. Barrius shouted his name over the stuttering blasts of shooting, indicating the timber door the armoured cultists had emerged from.
"I believe we have only one way out of this. Forward, Sergeant!"
Kaelin nodded, his face grim as the icon representing Brother Christos winked out. Another Space Marine dead for this mission. But Kaelin knew that they would all lay down their lives for the mission, no matter what it was. Chaplain Barrius had decided that it was worth all of them dying to achieve it, and that was good enough for him. Under cover of the cloisters, Barrius and the remaining five members of Squad Lutra sprinted through the stubbed door that led out of this fire trap. Sergeant Keelan just hoped that they weren't running into something worse. "Is the angel ready to administer the evisceral blessing, Castor?" inquired the prophet.
"It is, my lord," said Castor, his voice trembling with fear.
The prophet smiled, understanding the cause of his underling's unease. "The angel of blades makes you uncomfortable, Castor." Castor fidgeted nervously, his bald head beaded with sweat.
"It frightens me, my lord. I fear that we count such a thing as our ally. It slaughtered 10 of my acolytes as we released it from the crypts. It was horrible."
"Horrible, Castor?" soothed the prophet, placing both hands on the priest's shoulders, his gauntlets large enough to crush Castor's head.
"Was it any more horrible than what we did to take this world?
Was it bloodier than the things we did when we stormed this temple?" "There is already blood on your hands, Castor. What matters a little more? Is what we do here not worthy of some spilled blood?"
"I know, but to actually see it, to taste and smell it, it was terrible."
The priest was shaking. The memory of the angel had unmanned him completely.
"I know, Castor, I know," acknowledged the prophet, "but all great things must first wear terrible masks in order that they may inscribe themselves on the mind of the common man."
The prophet shook his head sadly.
"It is the way of things."
Castor nodded slowly.
"Yes, my lord, I understand."
The prophet said, "We bring a new age of reason to this galaxy. The fire we begin here will ignite 1,000 others that will engulf the false emperor's realm in the flames of revolution. We shall be remembered as heroes, Castor. Do not forget that. Your name shall shine amongst men as the brightest star in the firmament."
Castor smiled, his vanity and ego overcoming his momentary squeamishness. Fresh determination shone in his zealous eyes.
The prophet turned away.
It was almost too easy.
Sergeant Keelan stalked the darkened corridors of the cathedral like a feral wolf predator, eyes constantly on the move, hunting his prey. Flickering electro flambeau cast a dim glow that threw the carved walls into stark relief, and he deliberately averted his gaze from them. Looking too carefully at the images carved into the walls left his eyes stinging and a nauseous rolling sensation in the pit of his stomach. Since leaving the death trap of the cloister, they had snaked deeper into the cathedral, and Kaelin couldn't help but feel that they were in terrible danger. Not the danger of dying. Kaelin had stared death in the face too many times to fear extinction, but the danger of temptation and blasphemy. That was another matter entirely. The paths to damnation were many and varied, and Kaelin knew that evil did not always wear the horns and breathe fire, for if it did, all men would surely turn from it in disgust. No, evil came subtly in the night, as pride, as lust, as envy. In his youth, Kaelin had known such feelings, had fought against them, all the whispered seductions that flesh and the dark could offer in the dead of night, but he had prayed and fasted, secure in his faith in the divine emperor of mankind. He had achieved a balance in his soul, a tempering of the beast within him. He understood that there were those who gave in to their base desires and turned their faces from the emperor's light. For them, there could be no mercy. They were deviants of the worst kind. They were an infection, spreading their lies and abomination to others, whose weakened faith was an open doorway to them. If such forces were at work within these walls, then Kaelin would fight till the last drop of blood had been squeezed from his body to root it out and destroy it. Barriss led the way, his strides long and sure. The passageway they followed dipped slightly, and Kaelin can feel a cool breath of night air caress his skin. The stone walls gave way to a smooth blackened glass, opaque and blemish-free, widening to nearly 10 meters across. The walls curved up into the rounded arch above them and were totally non-reflective. Doors constructed of the same material barred the way forward. The susurration of air coming from where the glass had been cracked near the top of the frame. An ominous stain dripped down the inside face of the door from where a torn fragment of white cloth was caught, flapping in the breeze on a jagged shard of broken glass.
Blood,
said Barriss. Kaelin nodded. He had smelt it before seeing it. An odd, wickering mechanical sound came from the other side of the doors, and Kaelin felt an instinctive dread send a hot jolt of fear into his system. Barriss stepped forwards and thundered his boot into the door, smashing it completely from the frame. Black glass flew outwards, and Kaelin swept through the portal, bolter and power fist at the ready. Kaelin entered a domed arena, its stone floor awash with blood and sliced chunks of flesh. The stink of the charnel house filled the air. The same non-reflective black substance that had formed the door enclosed the arena. He pounded down some steps and skidded to a halt, his blood thundering in horror at the sight before him. A mad screaming echoed around the enclosed arena. A dome of utter darkness rose above them as the horrifying bulk of the creature before the Space Marines turned to face them with giant, slashing strides. Perhaps it had once been a dreadnought. Perhaps it had evolved or mutated in some vile parody of a dreadnought. But whatever it was clearly a beast of pure evil. Even Barriss, who had fought monstrous abominations before, was shocked at the terrifying appearance of a biomechanical killing machine. Fully 6 meters high, the creature stood on 4 splayed, spider-like legs of scything blades that cut the air with a deadly grace. A massive, mechanically muscled torso rose from the center of the bladed legs, and clawed arms, lightning-sheathed, swung insanely from its shoulders, upon which was mounted an ornately carved heavy bolter. At its back, a pair of glittering bladed wings flapped noisily, their lethal edges promising death to any who came near. The biomachine's head was a pulped mass of horribly disfigured flesh. Multiple eyes, milky and distended, protruded from enlarged and warped sockets. Its vicious gash of slobbering mouth was filled with hundreds of serrated, chisel-like teeth, and its skin was a grotesque, oily texture, the colour of rotten meat. It was impossible to tell where the man ended and the machine began. Its entire body was soaked in blood, gobbets of torn flesh still hanging from its claws and teeth. But the final horror, the most sickening thing of all, was that where the metal of the sarcophagus hide was still visible, it was coloured an all too familiar shade of dark green. And upon its shoulder was the symbol of the Dark Angels. Whatever this creature was, it had once been a brother Space Marine. Now, it was the Angel of Blades, and as the Space Marines recoiled in horror, the Munster howled in mad triumph and stamped forwards on its scythe legs. The speed of the Angel of Blades was astonishing for such a huge creature. Blood burst from its face as the Space Marines overcame their shock and began firing their bolters. Every shell found its mark, detonating wetly within the Angel's dead skin mask. But its lunatic screams continued unabated. A silver blur lashed from the Munster. A casual flick of its bladed leg licked out and eviscerated Brother Malleus quicker than the eye could follow. His shorn halves collapsed in a flood of red, but his bellows of pain were drowned by the Angel's hateful shrieks. The Baroque heavy bolter mounted on the beast's shoulder roared and blasted the remains of Malleus apart. Caelan knew it had to die. Now. He sprinted across the courtyard as the rest of the squad spread out and leapt in front of the rampaging machine. A brilliant burst of blue-white lightning arcing from his power fist as he struck at the beast's face. A coruscating corona of burning fire enveloped its huge frame as the lethal power of Caelan's gauntlet smashed home. Its deformed flesh blistered and sloughed from its face, exposing a twisted metallic bone structure beneath. The Angel struck back, unheeding of the terrible hurt done to it. Caelan dodged a swipe meant to remove its head and rolled beneath its flailing arms. He powered his cracking fist into its groin and ripped upwards. The power fist scored deep grooves in the Angel's exterior, but Caelan's strike failed to penetrate its armoured shell. The beast sidestepped and another leg slashed out at him. He ducked back, not quick enough, and his armoured knee joint thundered into his chest, hurling him backwards. Caelan's breastplate cracked wide open, crushing his ribs and shattering the Imperial Eagle on his chest into a million fragments. Bright lights exploded before his eyes as he fought for breath and struggled to rise, reeling from the massive impact. Even as he fell, he knew he had been lucky. Had the cutting edge struck him, he would now be as dead as Malleus. Heavy bolter shells spat from the shoulder-mounted gun, hammering into his legs and belly, driving him to his knees. One shell managed to penetrate the cracks in his armour, and he screamed, white-hot fire bathing his nerves as the shell blasted a fist-sized hole in his hip, blood washing in a river down his thigh. He fell to the ground as the Angel loomed above him, its bloody claws poised to deliver the death blow and tear Caelan in two. With a howling battle cry, Chaplain Barius and the surviving members of Squad Lucha rushed to attack the monstrosity from the flanks and rear. Brother Janus died instantly, decapitated by a huge sweep of the creature's claws. Another leg whipped out, impaling his corpse and lifting him high into the air. Brother Temian leapt upon the thing from behind, holding his sword in a reverse grip and driving it into the Angel's back with a yell of triumph. The monster screamed and bucked madly, casting the brave Space Marine from its back. Its wings glittered in the torchlight and powered wide with a ringing clash of metal. The discordant shriek of steel on steel sounded as the Angel's wings slashed the air and a storm of razor-edged feathers flew from the beast's back and engulfed Tamian as he raised his bolter. He had no time to scream as the whirlwind of blades slashed him through and tore his body to shreds. The bloody chunks of flesh and armour that fell to the ground were no longer recognisable as human. Barius smashed his Crozius Arcanum across the back of one of the Angel's knee joints, ducking a swipe of the beast's razor wings. Brother Orient and Brother Persis hammered the huge machine from the front while Caelan pushed himself unsteadily to his feet. Orient died as the Angel caught him with both sets of claws, ripping his body apart and tossing the pieces aside in contempt. The beast staggered as Barius finally chopped through the silver steel of its leg. It tried to turn and slash at its diminutive assailant, but staggered as the severed joint collapsed under its weight. The huge arm spun as it fought for balance. Caelan and Barius were quick to press home their advantage. Caelan smashed his power fist into the monstrosity's mutated face. the huge gauntlet obliterating its features and tearing through its armoured sarcophagus. Kaelin kept pushing deeper and deeper inside the heart of the monster's body. The stench gusting from the rotted interior was the odour of week-old corpse. His fist closed around something greasy and horribly organic, and the angel shuddered in agony, lifting Kaelin from the ground. He grasped onto the beast's shell with his free hand, still struggling to tear the beast's heart out. Agony coursed through his body as the angel's limbs spasmed on his wounded hip and chest. Kaelin's grip slid inside the angel's body, glistening amniotic fluid pouring over his arm and preventing him from slaying the vile creature that lurked within its body. His grip finally found purchase. A writhing, pulsing thing with a grotesque, peristaltic motion. He closed his fist on the fleshy substance of the monstrosity's heart and screamed as he released a burst of power within the biomachine's shell. The monster convulsed as the deadly energies of the power fist whiplashed inside its shell, blue fire geysering from its exhausts. Its legs wobbled and the massive beast collapsed, sliding slowly to its knees. A stinking black gore gushed from every joint and its demonic wailing dimmed and at last fell silent. Kaelin wrenched clear his gauntlet, a grimace of pain and revulsion contorting his features as the lifeless angel of blades toppled forwards. A mangled heap of fetid meat and metal. Kaelin slid down the angel's shell and collapsed next to the foul creature, bloodlust, shock and pain robbing him of his prodigious strength. Breathless, Chaplain Barris gripped Kaelin's arm and helped him to his feet. Brother Persis joined them, his dark green armour stained black with the monster's death fluids. The three dark angels stood by the rotted corpse and tried to imagine how such a thing could possibly exist. Kaelin limped towards the remains of the beast and stared at the shattered carapace of the angel's shell. The iconography on the sarcophagus was of a winged figure in a green robe carrying a scythe. Its face shrouded in the darkness of its hood. Fluted scrollwork below the image on its chest bore a single word, partially obscured by black, oily blood. Kaelin reached down, wiping his hand across the carapace, and felt as though his heart had been plucked from his chest. He sank to his knees as he stared at the word, willing it not to be true. But it remained the same, etched with an awful finality. Caliban. The Dark Angel's lost homeworld, destroyed in the Great Heresy thousands of years ago. How this thing could have come from such a holy place, Kaelin did not know. He rose and turned to Barris.
"You knew about this, didn't you?" he asked.
The chaplain shook his head.
"About this abomination, no. That we could face one of our brothers turned to the dark powers, yes, I did."
Kaelin's face twisted in a fixture of anger and disbelief.
"The dark powers? How can that be possible? It cannot be true!"
A voice from the shadows, silky and seductive, said, "I'm afraid that it is, Sergeant." Kaelin, Barris, and Perris spun to see a tall, hugely built figure in flowing white robes emerge from the shadows, accompanied by a stoop-shouldered man with a shaven head. The tall figure wore his black hair short, close-cropped into his skull, and three gold studs glittered on his forehead. His handsome features were smiling wryly. Barris swiftly drew his bolt pistol and fired off the entire clip at the robed figure. As each shot struck, a burst of light flared around the man, but he remained unharmed. Kaelin could see the faint outline of a rosarius beneath his robes. The small amulet would protect the prophet from their weapons, and Kaelin knew that such protection would be almost impossible to defeat. All around the arena, the opaque glass walls began to sink into the ground, and a score of armed men stepped through, their weapons aimed at the three space marines. Barris dropped the empty bolt pistol, and reluctantly, Kaelin and Persis did likewise.
"How could it be true?
asked Kalin again. "And who are you?" "It's very simple, Sergeant. My name is Cephisus, and once I was a dark angel like you. When your dead husk of an emperor still walks amongst you, we were betrayed by Lionel Johnson. He abandoned our chapter's true master, Luther, and left with the emperor to conquer the galaxy. The Primarch left him to rot on a backwater planet while he vaingloriously took the honour of battle that should have been ours. How could he have expected us not to fight him on his return?" Barriss stepped forward and removed his helm, tossing it aside as he stared at the tall figure with undisguised hatred. He raised his Crozius Arcanium to point at the other's chest.
"I know you, Cephisus. I have read of you, and I will add your name to the Book of Salvation. It was necessary for Luther to remain behind on Caliban. His was a position of great responsibility."
"Necessity, Chaplain, is the plea for every act of ignorance your Imperium perpetrates. It is the argument of tyrants and the creed of slaves," snapped the Prophet. "Wipe the virtue from your eyes. We were cast aside, scattered throughout time and space to become the Fallen. And for that, I will kill you." He nodded towards the dead monstrosity, his earlier composure reasserting itself, and said, "You killed the Angel of Blades. I am impressed." The Prophet smiled and parted his robes, allowing them to fall at his feet. Beneath them, he wore a suit of powered armour, ancient and painted unmistakably in the colours and icons of the Dark Angels. The ornate form of Rosarius, similar to the one worn by Barriss, hung on a chain, nestling against the eagle on his breastplate. "I am Cephas, but that name no longer has any meaning for me. I forswore it the day Lionel Johnson betrayed us."
"The Primarch saved us," roared Barriss,
his face contorted in fury.
"You dare to blaspheme against his blessed name?"
Cephisus shook his head slowly. "You are deluded, Chaplain. I think that it is time you start looking at yourself and judge the lie you live. You can project it back at me, but I am only what lives inside each and every one of you. I am a reflection of you all." Sneering, he descended the steps to stand before the interrogator Chaplain, pulling a finged chain from a pouch around his waist. Attached along its limbs were several polished blades, each inlaid with a fine tracery of gold wire. Barriss's eyes widened in shock, and he reached for his hip scabbard, drawing an identical blade.
"You call these weapons blades of reason? Such an irony."
"It is as much a badge of office to you as your Crozarius, is it not? I have 11 here, each taken from the corpse of a Dark Angel chaplain. I will take yours and make it an even dozen." Without warning, he snapped a blade from the chain and spun on his heel, slashing it across Perse's throat. The Space Marine sank to the ground, arterial blood bathing his breastplate crimson. Kalin screamed and launched himself forward, swinging his powered fist at the Prophet's head. Cephisus swayed aside and smashed his bladed fist into Kalin's ribs. The neural wires inscribed in the blade shrieked fiery electric agony along Kalin's nerves, and he howled as raw pain flooded every fibre in his body. His vision swam, and he fell to the ground screaming, the blades still lodged in his side. Barriss howled in fury and slashed with his Crozius Arcanum. Cephisus ducked and lunged in close, tearing the Rosarius from around Barriss's neck. Silver and gold flashed. Blood spurted. The chaplain fell to his knees, mouth open in mute horror as he felt his lifeblood pump from his ruined throat. He fell beside Kalin and dropped his weapon beside the fallen sergeant. Cephisus reached down and knelt beside the dying chaplain. He smiled indulgently and scooped up Barriss's intricate blade, threading the thin chain through its hilt. "An even dozen. Thank you, chaplain," hissed Cephisus. Sergeant Kalin gritted his teeth and fought to open his eyes. The Prophet's blades were lodged deep in his flesh.
with a supreme effort of will, each tiny movement bringing a fresh spasm of agony, he reached down and dragged the weapon from his body. His vision cleared in time for him to see the Prophet leaning over Chaplain Barrius. He growled in anger, and with strength born of desperation, lunged forward, throwing himself at the heretic. Both hands outstretched, he slashed with the blades and tried to crush the Prophet's head with his power fist. But Cephisus was too quick and dodged back, but not before Caelan's hand closed about an ornate chain around his neck. He tore it free. He rolled forwards, falling at the Prophet's feet, and gasped in pain. Cephisus laughed and addressed the men around the arena. "You see? The might of the Adeptus Astartes lies broken at my feet. What can we not achieve when we can humble their might with such ease?" Caelan could feel the pain ebbing from his body and glanced down to see what lay in his hand and smiled viciously. He lifted his gaze to look up into the shining mad face of the Prophet and with a roar of primal hatred struck out at the traitor Dark Angel, his power fist crackling with lethal energy. He felt as though time slowed. He could see everything in exquisite detail. Every face in the arena was trained on him, every gun, but none of that mattered now. All he could focus on was killing his foe. His vision tunneled until all he could see was Cephisus's face, smugly contemptuous. His power fist connected squarely on the Prophet's chest, and Caelan felt a fleeting instant of pure pleasure when he saw the heretic's expression suddenly change as he saw what the sergeant held aloft in his other hand. Cephisus's chest disintegrated, his armor split wide open by the force of the powerful blow. Caelan's power fist exploded from his back, shards of bone and blood spraying the arena's floor. Caelan lifted the impaled Prophet high and shouted to the assembled cultists, "Such is the fate of those who would defy the will of the immortal Emperor." He hurled the body of Cephisus, no more than blood-soaked rags, to the ground and howled in painful triumph. Caelan was a terrifying figure, drenched in blood and howling with battle lust. As he stood in the centre of the arena, the black glass walls rapidly began to rise and the armed men vanished from sight, their fragile courage broken by the death of their leader. Caelan slumped to the ground and opened his other fist, letting the rosarius he had inadvertently torn from around the Prophet's neck fall to the ground. A hand brushed his shoulder, and he turned to see the gasping face of Chaplain Barrius. The man struggled to speak, but could only wheeze breathlessly. His hand scrabbled around his body, searching. Guessing Barrius' intention, Caelan picked up the fallen Crozius Arcanum and placed it gently in the chaplain's hand. Barrius coughed a mouthful of blood and shook his head. He opened Caelan's fist, pressed the Crozius into the sergeant's hand, and pointed towards the corpse of the fallen Dark Angel.
"Deathwing,"
hissed Barrius with his last breath, and closed his eyes as death claimed him. Caelan understood. The burden of responsibility had been passed to him now. He held the symbol of office for a Dark Angel's chaplain, and though he knew that there was much for him yet to learn, he had taken the first step along a dark path. News of the Prophet's death spread rapidly throughout Angelicus, and within the hour, the rebel forces broadcast their unconditional surrender. Caelan slowly retraced his steps through the cathedral precinct, using the Voxcom to call in the gunship that had delivered their assault. He limped into the main square, squinting against the bright light of the breaking morning. The Thunderhawk sat in the centre of the plaza, engines whining, and the forward ramp lowered. As he approached the gunship, a lone Terminator in bone-white armour descended the ramp to meet him. Caelan stopped before the Terminator and offered him the Crozarius and a thin chain of 12 blades. Caelan said,
"The name of Cephisus can now be added to the Book of Salvation."
The Terminator took the preferred items and said,
"Who are you?"
Caelan considered the question for a moment before replying.
I am Deathwing, he answered.
Thanks for watching, everybody. If you enjoyed this, please do consider subscribing to the channel and give this video a like and share if you think anyone you know might be interested in it. More videos are coming up, so please make sure you hit that bell so you get notified. And if you would like to support the channel, please consider using the links below. And for those of you who do, you can see your names here. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate it. It really helps with this work that I do here on the channel. And yeah, I'm going to be doing more soon. So yeah, stay tuned. Cheers.